It's the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, filling in for Frank. He's taking a couple of extra days of assignment. Ian and Dan are here with me. You know my next guest from his appearance on Jeopardy a decade ago, 75 consecutive shows, and when it was all over, he won $2.5 million, not to mention a bunch of money since then when he's appeared on tournament after tournament there. He now writes a weekly trivia quiz for Slate.com. He compiles the Connections puzzle for Parade. He's also a best-selling author. Let's see, I think I've interviewed him for pretty much every book he's put out, Brainiac and his Trivia Almanac and Because I Said So. And he has a Junior Genius Guide series for kids 8, 9, 10 years old. He's covered Greek mythology and U.S. presidents and maps and geography. And he's just come out with a new one for kids about outer space. Look, everybody, it's Ken Jennings. Hi, Ken.
Hey. Hey, Paul. How are you guys doing?
Good to have you back on the show. How are you?
I'm well. It's always a pleasure.
But before we talk about the books or anything else, were you just on Millionaire?
Yeah, I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire as recently as Monday. They were doing a special Guinness Book of World Records week, and So they called me and were like, do you want to be on Millionaire? And I was like, sure, I love Millionaire. And then they said, are you in the Guinness Book of World Records? And I said, I don't know. It turns out I was for some game show thing. So
the people who were organizing a Guinness Book of World Records Day didn't know if the potential guest was in the book that they were honoring.
I was very confused at that point when they were like, well, do you have a world record? Well, I guess they just assumed I would. Yes, I'm a juggler, you know.
Ken, we're really calling to see if you have a copy of the Guinness Book of World Records, because we don't have one here. Would you check and see if you're in it?
Luckily I have a 10-year-old. I did have a copy. And for having the longest streak on Jeopardy a few years ago, I actually made the cut. So,
yeah.
So I was allowed to be on Millionaire.
And how did you do?
I did okay. I knew the 100,000 question, and then they got up to the 250,000, and I had a pretty good guess, but I didn't want to risk losing everything. It was about, well, what was the last line of Al Gore's confession speech in 2000?
See ya, suckers!
It was just a bunch of hanging Chad.
You get Bush, I'm out of here. I had a pretty good guess, which turned out to be right, but I didn't want to risk losing, you know, some six-figure amount of money, so I walked at that point.
What was your guess?
It was the one that sort of sounded familiar was, it is time for me to go. And I thought, I remember hearing that in a speech. Was it Gore? I really didn't remember who it was, but it turns out that's how he ended the speech.
Wow. Did that drive you crazy after you knew? You thought, oh, man, I would have taken that guess. That would have been the one. And then it's like, oh, I would have been up to 250.
It really does eat at you, you know? Like, think about how mad you get about a $20 parking ticket, you know? And then what if you did something dumb, but it was like hundreds of thousands of dollars. So you really just have to pretend that doesn't exist. You have to, like, compartmentalize that part of your mind and pretend you didn't just lose, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on Al Gore's speech.
Poor Ken Jennings. How is he going to make the mortgage this month?
Yeah, there's that as well. You know, game shows have been very, very good to me, so I'm not going to complain at this point.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about the Junior Genius Guides. As I mentioned, the new one is about outer space. Were you a kid who grew up in love with the space race, et cetera?
Oh, absolutely. I was like a space shuttle era kid, and my dad was a huge Apollo era, you know, astronaut geek. So we would always just take the telescope out in the backyard and, you know, look at the moon or see if we could see Saturn's moons or Jupiter's moons or the rings of Saturn. This was like, this book just came sort of pouring out of my head, you know. It's the kind of thing where if I didn't have the internet, I probably still could have written it, you know.
Wow. That's pretty good. So tell us some things about space that you don't think that we know.
It's like everything is amazing.
Well, we know that.
That's it. That's the whole book. Every page just says space is really like, I guess Venus is so hot you could hold a pizza in the air for like 10 seconds and it would bake. Like, that's just a day on Venus. Cooking tip also.
Also, by the way, for you kids listening in, don't go to Venus. Too hot.
Yes.
What do you know about Uranus?
Oh, stop it.
So Uranus was almost named after King George. Like, there was almost a planet named George. And they were like, no, 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 that would be dumb. People would make jokes. So let's call the planet something that no one could joke about.
Uranus.
Let's call it Uranus.
And do you also write in the book, dear kids, when I was a kid, there was a planet called Pluto.
There is still a lot of Pluto nostalgia in the book. But I feel like kids today still have that. Like, they know that Pluto should be a planet, even though they grew up after the change, you know?
Yeah.
Like, somehow there's this deep sense deep in the species that we screwed up by kicking out Pluto. I don't know.
Yeah, I love watching any old science fiction shows or space series, and they talk about the solar system with its nine planets. Incorrect!
You are wrong about the future. We are losing planets, not gaining them.
So you've written, I guess it's now four books for kids. Do you hear from kids who write back to you with ideas about things or questions?
I actually do. That's one of my favorite parts of writing these kids' books. I get to go to schools. I get to, you know, see kids at bookstores. They'll email me. A kid just emailed me like a week ago to say, I read your Junior Genius Guide to Greek Mythology, but I must already be a genius. I knew all these facts. Please recommend me a real junior genius book about Greek mythology. Signed Eric or whatever. So I hear from a lot of very, very nerdy kids.
I wonder if you ever get that from Dylan and Caitlin, your own kids. Do they ever say, oh, Dad, everybody, you know, you ask them, hey, will you look through this? Dad, everybody knows this stuff.
Mostly, I do have the problem of having know-it-all kids for sure. Like, my son read Because I Said So, this book I wrote about, like, debunking parenting myths, like, you know, don't swim after you eat, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And for just months thereafter, he was just insufferable. Like, he thought he knew everything, and, you know, we'd tell him to turn on the light if he was going to, you know, Mom would say, turn on the light if you're going to read, and he'd be like, no, it's in Dad's book, just temporary eye strain, I'll be fine.
Oh, wow. How does your wife feel about your kid throwing Dad at her?
I thought that was hilarious, and for some reason, she did not agree.
Do they ever come to you and say, Dad, I was reading this part here. This is far too obscure for an 8-year-old.
I don't know. Like, I actually don't, like, I don't get a lot of feedback from my kids, which is funny because when I'm writing the books, I'm always pretending like they're sitting there and I'm just trying to entertain them, you know, like during a long car trip or they're bored or something, you know, be funny, you know, keep the kids occupied, tell them something interesting. But really, they just read them and they just sort of absorb them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know. Maybe that's good because kids are sponges, right?
Absolutely.
All those minds are, all those facts are just going to stick in their little brains.
Now, one thing I know that you do in the book is you tell kids don't use yellow crayons to color in the sun in the book. Why?
Well, mostly because the books are so great, you should not deface them. But also because the sun is not yellow. Sunlight is actually pure white light. Our sun only looks yellow through our atmosphere, which is weird, right? I didn't even know that one.
Wait a second. I have to get Charles Osgood on the phone because I watched that CBS Sunday Morning thing, and every logo of the sun they have is yellow. Charles Osgood is wrong about something?
He's been lying to America for years.
Wow. What else are you working on for the Junior Genius Guide series?
There's at least three more. The Human Body and Ancient Egypt are coming out next year, and as we speak, I'm finishing up Dinosaurs. That's the last one. And I never had a dinosaur phase as a kid, so I know less about dinosaurs than every 10-year-old in America, so I've really had to, you know, study up.
Well, you know what you can include in that? You can say, just as we told you that there was once a planet called Pluto, there was once a dinosaur called the Brontosaurus. But we don't call it that anymore. It's the Allosaurus now, kids.
I wonder if kids even know that, like, there it used to be Brontosaurus, because that was so huge for us. But
yeah,
you know,
why did they change it to Allosaurus?
Yeah,
it's actually Apatosaurus. You know the story?
No.
It was named Apatosaurus first, and then they thought Brontosaurus was a separate dinosaur. And so later on, when they found out they just had two specimens of the same species, they were like, oh, we got to use the first name, even if it's dumb.
And it's not Allosaurus, it's Apatosaurus?
Yes. Allosaurus is like a carnivore. And Brontosaurus is great. It means thunder lizard. But Apatosaurus, like, is stupid. It means, like, different lizard or something like that. So we gave it a worse name just because that was first.
Oh, come on. If you have to choose between the two, you should go with thunder lizard.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
And Allosaurus
exactly.
Says, I'm out of here.
No,
that's Allagoras.
Oh, Allagoras.
I cannot resist asking you about Jeopardy whenever you're on, Ken. And when I realize it's been 10 years since you burst onto the scene with those 75 consecutive episodes.
10 years.
Yeah. I know you occasionally check in on the show now, not just to appear on tournaments, but to actually see how Trebek and company are doing. I'm curious whether you think the show's changed at all in the last decade.
It's interesting. They're doing a Tournament of Champions right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can really see, I don't think I would stand a chance in today's environment because they have these real high-level players who just cram obsessively before they go on the show. Like, you know, this Arthur Chu guy who, you know, he studied where all the daily doubles were going to be and he used computer programs to drill him with questions. You know, these people go through these amazing boot camps before they go on Jeopardy. And so it's amazingly high level of competition now. It's, you're really seeing professional Jeopardy players out there some nights, and it's just not fair to the opposition.
Yeah, there are some nights. My wife and I tape the show, or we don't tape anything. We DVR the show. We record the show and end up kind of binge-watching three or four episodes at a time because we've loved the show for so many years. And it does seem like every once in a while there's somebody like an Arthur Chu or somebody who has studied game theory or something, and there's always somebody else on the panel who has no clue what to do. Either they're too timid and can't get to the buzzer first or whatever it is, and they choke on the daily double. You know, they need to bet big. And I'll bet 100, Alex, and you know that sort of stuff. That does always seem like they are the tiny little prey,
sacrificial lambs.
Yeah, in the giant thunder lizard's eyes
for Arthur Soros.
Yeah,
I think that's exactly right. The main thing is that it's so much harder there than it is on your couch. You know,
yeah.
You think, what is this bozo doing? He can't figure out the buzzer. He's not bad enough. But then you get there and you realize it's still a war zone to be on Jeopardy, and it's, you know, it's so intense, and it's a lot harder than it seems.
And when they invite you back seemingly every other year for some new tournament that they've devised, those are really tough questions because it's you and the other great players, so it seems like the writers crank it up a little bit, or is that just my imagination?
I think that's exactly right. I remember last time I was on for that big decades tournament or whatever they had, I remember them doing one category where you had to figure out who they were talking about, take his initials, translate them from Roman numerals, and then translate them back into a real number. And then that was the answer.
Good grief.
You're supposed to do that in, you know, 3 seconds or whatever.
Yeah.
Tough stuff.
Very tough.
Hey, Ken, how many game shows have you been on? You've been on Jeopardy and Millionaire.
I was on Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, actually.
Really?
It turns out I'm not. It was the same kind of thing where I walked.
Isn't that the one with
it all on the last question, and then I knew it also. So,
that's the one with
Jeff Foxworthy?
Yeah, Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah,
I didn't know that was still on.
It's coming back, I think. It's been off for a while.
Yeah, and last thing I've got to ask you, as you know, a long time ago, I put out these trivia calendars. Did it for a couple of years, sold a whole bunch of them for charity here in the St. Louis area, and do trivia on my Friday afternoon show here. And for a while, I used to get invited to host trivia nights all around town, and I did a lot. I did hundreds of them over the course of several years, and then I finally had to just say, stop, I can't do any more. I just kind of completely burned out on it. You now are a guy whose life is all about trivia, you know, with the connections puzzle for Parade magazine and the stuff you do for Slate and the stuff you're doing all the time on Twitter and elsewhere, plus your books. Do you get invited to do those trivia nights as well?
I do sometimes. St. Louis is an amazing trivia town. Like, I don't know of any other city that does as many trivia nights as St. Louis does. But yeah, up here I get invited to, you know, charity events, and you know, and I say yes when I can. But I'm with you, you know. I can't play everybody's, you know, Jeopardy skit at their benefit, but I try.
Well, the series of books that Ken has been working on is called The Junior Genius Guides. He's got 4 down, 3 to go. The new one is out. If you've got kids 8, 9, 10, 11, somewhere in that range, these are great things to give them, you know, with the holidays coming up. Give them as a gift. The latest one is on outer space, and they'll learn a lot of stuff like we did today about the sun and white light. I didn't know that.
I know. I have one more question for Ken.
Yes,
go ahead. What did you do for a living before all of this, before Jeopardy and everything hit?
I was actually in computers, but I wasn't that great at it. I really, even as a kid, knew that, like, trivia was the only thing I was good at. I just didn't know. I didn't know it was a job.
Yeah.
So I got very lucky when I got the Jeopardy audition.
That's his next book. Jeopardy saved my life.
Yes.
That is true.
Ken, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, guys.
Ken Jennings here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.